brother. What's up?
This is a big party, man.
Yeah, brother, like, stop right on.
Good morning and welcome to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. Good morning to you, Connor. How you doing, man?
I'm doing all right.
Yeah, you look alert, man.
I mean, hey.
You got a little rest last night, huh?
Yeah, a little bit.
Yeah, man. You know, I got a lot of things to talk about this morning, as always, and many of them. The one thing I'll always say about this show is that it angers people. The truth angers people. You know, when I come in here Monday through Friday, I come in here and I've looked at different things and did a little research on those things that I'm going to be talking about. A lot of them, the research has been my own life experience, and so I feel more than confident that when I come into the studio, I'm not having conversations about, you know, just how smart I am, because as I've stated before, I'm very limited when it comes to knowledge about, you know, I mean, there's so much to know. How can anybody poke their chest out and talk about how much they know? You can put what you really know on the head of a pen and there'll still be plenty of room left. So much to learn in such a short period of time to, you know, to learn it in. But I just... Here's what I want to begin the show with. Connor, you see it, man, even as young as you are. Does it surprise you to see how big people are? I mean, you see people who look like blimps, right?
Yeah. I mean.
I mean, you ever wonder how they get that way?
Yeah, I do. I mean, there are a lot of reasons why people get that way.
Yeah, well, I know why.
Yeah.
In many instances, it's what they put in the food that they put in their mouths. And that is done for a reason. There's a reason why Wisconsin, you know, has some of the biggest people in the United States. You know, there's a reason why people are so obese. And we do know that people don't do that intentionally. Nobody sets out to weigh 350 pounds, 400 pounds, 500 pounds.
Mm-hmm.
You know that's not healthy for you. You know, at some point in time, you know, I mean, I look at myself, man, you know, and for at least up until the time I was 40 years old, maybe 45 years old, maybe even 50 years old. Yeah, I would say 50. Man, I hovered around, you know, 170, 175 pounds. And all was fine, and I had no problems with being overweight, certainly active, all the way up until, you know, 50 years old, I was physically active and did a lot of different things. Clearly working full-time helped me, you know, keep my weight down. But then something happened out of nowhere. In my case, I had a thyroid issue and the removal of my thyroid and just at that point in time, having my thyroid removed, I started gaining all this weight. But, you know, then you come to a point where you say, wow, I can't keep doing this. You know, I kind of, the older you get, the more you realize the value of the life, and the more you want to hang on to the life, and the more you start looking and saying, hey, man, you know, there are all these horrible things that happen to you when you're overweight. But I want to get into not why we are overweight, but how we got to be overweight. You know, you look at some people, man. You know, I was, the other day I saw a young man that almost could not even believe my eyes. He looked like the Michelin tire guy. And that's before your time, Connor. You don't know who that is.
No, I know who you're talking about.
Okay. And the guy looked like that. And it looked like he had on a suit. And, man, my heart just went out to him because I could look in his face and see he was just a young, young guy. He had to weigh 500 pounds. Man. And, you know, how do you begin to try to undo 500 pounds? There's not much that can be done. All it leads up to is a very short life. But you have to look at all the different reasons why. You know, nobody really said when people were younger, not during my time, the faux pas of sugar. Nobody said anything about that. Nobody said, hey, man, you shouldn't be drinking all those sodas. You know, hey, man, you shouldn't be eating all those cookies. Hey, man, you shouldn't be eating all those donuts. Hey, man, cake is not good for you. Hey, man, you know, candy, you shouldn't be eating those things you don't learn until later. So they show all these different commercials with all those things on television. And if you don't have the willpower, excuse me, to resist it, and you have issues in your life, then, you know, it's easy that food becomes your crutch. And the hard part about it, and one of the most difficult parts about it, is the self-awareness of people who have the problems with weight. The more they become self-conscious, let me include myself, the more we become self-conscious, the more we eat, and it becomes a vicious cycle. But the American people, as a group, far outweigh with the obesity issue anywhere else in the world. And it's not just because everybody doesn't have the strength to push themselves away. It is because of what's in the food that we eat. And that these things are done intentionally to us. You know, they really are. And so we just have to get to a point where we understand that these are the reasons. These things are happening. There's something at the root of it. And at the root of it is a government that refuses to protect its people from the business vultures who will do everything they can. And they're in cahoots with the medical industry. So the more, when you have a for-profit healthcare industry, you've got to guarantee that there's going to be a product in order for you to make money. Again, the health industry. If everybody was healthy, there could be no for-profit health industry. And I know people don't want to think of things in this context. And Al, I see you. I'm going to come to you after the break. I don't want to get with you for a couple minutes. I want to make sure we can have a real dialogue. So I'll come to you. We'll be on the break in a minute or two. The American people have to think. And I know the American people don't want to think about the kinds of things that I'm talking about because they believe so much in this country. And it's one thing to believe in the country, but the country is not a human being. This is a beautiful, beautiful, beautiful nation. I mean, I'm talking about the land. You know, I mean, it's a beautiful, beautiful country. But now the people, that's something altogether different. The landmass of the United States of America, mountains, deserts, rainforests, you know, you name it, all of that is here in this country. You know, lakes, you know, beaches, just a beautiful, beautiful, beautiful nation. But the people of this country, sinister, especially those who are looking to make money. And money is their number one priority. That's both Democrats and Republicans. And because at the root of the majority of the things that they do in this country, it makes it an ugly country. The people of it, very ugly. Because why else would somebody set out to destroy people's lives who have done nothing at all to deserve what they get? Got to go to a break. Al, I see you. We'll come right to you on the other side. Our phone lines are open as always at 844-967-2789. What say you? You're tuned into the Earl Ingram Show. We'll be right back. Pick it loud and pick it sound. Don't punish me with brutality. Come on, talk to me. You can see what's going on. Yeah, what's going on? Tell me what's going on. I'll tell you what's going on. All right, welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. You know, I'm talking about obesity in the United States. 2022, 38.4% of Americans are obese. 38.4% of Americans are obese. Another 30% of Americans are considered overweight. The increase in obesity since 2008 is 26%. At those rates, since 2008, 14 years, obesity has increased 26%. You think those things are coincidental? Let's go to my good friend Al. Hey, Al, how you doing, man?
When you talk about obesity, see, there's a number of different factors. And in the last 20 or so years, you have to look at the food industry and the BMO products that they're putting out that basically they put chemicals in the food, they put chemicals in the animals that we eat, and basically the body is not accepting that stuff, but it looks good in the store, and it helps the cattle and other animals grow bigger and faster, and basically they're stuffing it in people's face. But you also have to look at the electronics industry because of the fact that people are not exercising as much as they used to. Now, you know, I spent 49 years as a high school coach, and I worked with kids of all sizes and what have you. Everybody's not meant to be skinny. But the point is, big people can be very healthy, but they have to exercise on a regular basis, and they have to watch what they eat.
You know, Al, I can't dispute anything that you just said. You know, the things that they're putting in the food, the chemicals and what they're feeding animals to make sure that they come to full growth, expedite the full growth of animals in order to maximize profits, the chemicals that they're using. But you don't put any credence into some of these things being done to coincide with the fact that we have a for-profit healthcare industry. And
yes, everything has to do with that dollar bill. It's not, you know, I was in the barbershop yesterday talking to people about fatherhood and parenting, but we are talking about what do people love more than anything else in this country right now? Money. Not children, not each other. It's about how much money can I get? Money is a tool. And if you use it properly, it will do its job. But when you start worshiping money and hoarding it and taking away from everything else in the world, money then becomes your enemy.
You
That's
know,
just an opinion.
No, Al, it's an accurate opinion because I know people who have basically spent their entire lives trying to make as much money. And listen, I'm not opposed to people making money. Money has its place, as Dr. King said. As Dr. King said, when it's time for me to meet my maker, I won't have any money. You know, I just want to leave a committed life behind.
That's correct.
And
I'm broke.
And so
I'm poor.
But Al, you have a committed.
I have fun every day.
I know, but you've led a committed life. And so what we have to get people to understand in this life, Al, is there's value in having committed lives. That far outweigh all the money that you have. You know,
as I said, money is a tool. It is not. It's just like a hammer and a nail. If you use it properly when you have it, then it will last and it will do its job. But it's about you learning how to manage it and not hoarding and not sacrificing all other things and relationships and other skills that you need to interact with people. Money is a tool, and people have to look at it that way and stop trying to worship it.
So, Al, so you and I both, and I think it's horrible to see adults that are obese, but it's doubly worse when you see children.
But as I said, a lot of this has to do with the electronics industry also, because as we develop all these computers and computer games, et cetera, people stop moving around. They stop exercising. They eat and eat and eat and sit on their butts and play games and watch TV and whatever. Years ago, when we were young, they didn't have that. We were out in the, you know, playing in the street, playing at the playground. We were doing things and moving around constantly. But, you know, it just doesn't happen anymore because people are not parenting the way they used to. And we got too much stuff for people to do sitting around.
You know, Al, can't disagree with anything you had to say. I would say that if you keep looking at this and the trajectory of it continues down the path that it's headed, long term, there's going to become a day of reckoning in this nation. It may not be in the time that you and I have left, but the nation's going to have to address this, right? I mean,
that's correct.
It's going to happen.
Look at me. I'm 60. I mean, excuse me. I'm 75 years old. All right. Now, I'm 6'3". I weigh 245 pounds. I work out three times a week. I work out three times a week. And, you know, most people my age don't work out at all.
That's correct.
And, you know, and they get ill, and they're running to the doctor every 5 minutes, and they're pumping them full of medicine, and basically they're killing themselves.
Well, you know, Al, in the end, that's exactly what's happening. And so, you know, and once people get to a certain point, it's almost like they give up, right? I can't turn this around. And then they become even more involved in it. Hey, you got a minute?
Yeah.
All right, hang on. Got to go to a break. 844-967-2789. You're tuned into the Earl Ingram Show. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. On the line, my good friend Al. And Al, I wanted you to hang on because you are the perfect foil for what I wanted to discuss next because of your what you've done in your life, the wounded veteran and all these different things, man. I wanted to talk about what has been brewing in this country. And people see it, but they really don't want to call it what it is. And they don't really want to talk about the inherent dangers of where we are as a society. And I will refer to it as a modern day civil war. This nation has entered into that. And so you have people in the political spectrum who cannot even talk to one another about issues that impact and affect the lives of the average everyday American. You just heard the commercial or the news break that talked about a United States Senator, Ron Johnson, who is opposed to Medicaid and Medicare and Social Security. And he's fighting and thinks that those are entitlements. And you've got people on the right, Trump people, MAGA people, who will do everything in their power, Al, to turn around things that benefit the average American in support of the wealthy in this country. We are coming to a point. The people on the right want to do away with public education. The people on the left say we can't do away with public education. That's where the masses of the children are going to be educated. We can't do that. You've got people on the right.
Let me.
Go ahead.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, Al.
For cutting you off.
No, Al. But
let's go back to Ron Johnson. Look back before he became a senator. He had a flailing business in Oshkosh, Wisconsin, and within 2 years after he became a state senator, U.S. senator, he was hanging out with Trump in Russia and wherever, and all of a sudden his income or his wealth
ballooned,
jumped from $800,000 to $2 or $3 million. And in the short order, it jumped to $5 million. Then it went to $25 million. See, he basically jumped into that plan of worshiping the money and doing whatever it took to get the money. And he doesn't care about the people he's supposed to be representing. The other part of that is the F word that nobody likes to say, and it's fear. The people in charge are afraid that they're not going to be in charge much longer.
That's true.
And as the minority becomes the majority, they are afraid of the minority, once they get in power over most things, are going to do to them what they've been doing to people for 300 years.
No question. No question.
That's the biggest issue. It's about fear. And when you talk about Jim Crow and states' rights and all of this stuff, it's taking us back almost 100 years to where things used to be, where they felt like they had more control and could enslave people and force people to do whatever they want, and they benefit from that. They're losing control because of the fact that they're being outnumbered. Yesterday I heard a program about African-American men moving to the Republican Party because of anger over African-American women exceeding beyond us. That's our fault because we put them there. We walked out on them. They didn't walk out on us. We left them with children and turned them over to the government for the government to take care of. So who's to blame? If they're upset with the women went to school. The women got degrees. The women went into politics. The women are excelling. We put them there. So we can't fault them. We have to fault the people we look at in the mirror every day.
Well, Al.
But all of this other garbage is about fear.
So Al, I would say, and you're 100% correct, but we're at a point where even if we don't look at it from the perspective of gender issues, it is an issue when it comes to the fact that people on the right, people on the left, I'm a Democrat, you're a Republican, I'm a conservative, and we don't like anything that Democrats stand for, and so we have this war. And we have this war going on, Al, that's going to destroy this nation. It's a civil war. And a lot of it is, again, based on even whites when it comes to what side of the equation they're on. You know, I'm a Republican. I'm a conservative. I'm a MAGA guy, you know. And so we don't like the people who aren't MAGA people. This is not.
We went through this same thing with the Tea Party.
Yeah, but
and all this other stuff.
The Tea Party
bringing this garbage up. Yeah,
the Tea Party was not as dangerous. I remember the Tea Party as well as you, but the Tea Party wasn't made up of these Proud Boys and QAnon and Oath Keepers.
But some of that was a derivative of the Tea Party. Because they didn't get what they wanted, and they started looking for other ways to get to that.
Yeah, it Al, is no question about it that we have entered into a time in this country that is a dangerous time, and the divide in this country, you see it. A radical person like Donald Trump, with all of his flaws, is still being supported by a 75 to 80 million Americans who know what he is and know what he stands for. And
the worst part about that, Earl, is this, and that is they think putting him in power is going to benefit them.
Right.
And if they look back at the 4 years he was in and doing all the idiocy that he did, they didn't get anything out of it other than him standing there making speeches about foolishness, and they didn't benefit at all. As a matter of fact, their situation got worse. and they're still trying to support him. But this again goes back to that word fear.
You know
they don't know what to be afraid of, and basically they're looking for some fool like Trump to get out here and do all of this bolstering and talking about being in control. He's not in control of himself.
You know, Al.
He definitely can't control the country.
Go ahead, I'm sorry. No, Al. You are on point with all of that. And what I've been trying to get people to understand is this is real, Al. This divide where Democrats and Republicans can't communicate at all about anything, and that they are, and that conservatives have made Democrats the enemy. That if the nation can't move forward and have dialogue about the things, Al, that impact and affect the American people, it doesn't bode well. You know, who's going to be on the side whenever there's some military involvement that we've had to deal with, Al? For the most part, both sides could sit down and work it out, or work it through, and say we're going to do what's in the best interest of the American people. That's not the case anymore. Nancy Pelosi goes over to Taiwan, and there's this complete divide. But what is she going over there for? She don't have any. If you're on the conservative side of things, you know, she doesn't have any right to go over there. Well, you know, the president told her not to go, and she's ignoring him. You know, but this divide in this nation, Al, this civil war in this nation is real, and I think.
Okay, but you keep using that term, civil war. There's no such thing as a civil war.
Okay.
And if you look at it, looking at the definition of the words. The other part of that is population control, okay? Civil war is about killing off a masses of people for the benefit of those who survive to a point where there will be more resources and jobs and other things for those who survive. The point is, it's about population control and killing people. And this is what all this stuff is about, that boy who went down there and shot up that church and all this other stuff. He stated, I'm trying to create or cause a civil war. And look at the term, civil and war don't come together nowhere. There's no such thing as a civil war.
Yeah, no. Well, if from the pure definition of what civil means, and what war means, that they're opposite ends of the spectrum. From that perspective.
20 years ago, the FBI and the federal government got with the states and what have you and created laws to where domestic violence, anyone who is arrested for civil violence, I mean, domestic violence.
Couldn't own a weapon.
Cannot own a gun or buy ammunition.
Right.
All right. But who's the majority of the people involved? Minorities. And why is the gun companies running out of product? Because everybody else is buying up all the guns and the ammunition. And the people who might wind up needing them will never be able to get to them. See, it's like, you know, when you go to the third world countries and the army is in there shooting people and what have you, and they're fighting with sticks and bricks. This is the same thing they're setting up here. And they've been doing it for the last 20 years.
You know, you know, Al, I know it's not a conversation that in many instances that the American people like to have.
No.
But it's a real conversation dealing with the complexities and the realities of where the nation is headed, and people can either stick their heads in the sand and ignore it, or they can, you know, deal with it head on. That's what we choose to do, man. Thank you very much, as always. I really appreciate it, my friend. Listen, we've got to go
take care.
Yes, sir. 844-967-2789 is the number. You're tuning into the Earl Ingram Show. We'll be right back.
God, y'all.
What is it good for?
Absolutely.
Nothing.
Say it again.
What?
Oh, oh, Lord.
What is it good for?
Absolutely.
Nothing.
Listen to me.
All right. Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. You know, Ron Johnson, if ever there was a man who's setting himself up to lose his office, it's Ron Johnson. Everything that he is doing and saying leads to the inevitability that he is going to lose his seat. And he certainly should, because he's, number one, he's arrogant. Number two, he's ignorant. And he somehow believes that that people are going to are inclined to believe in the things that he's saying. Al, who we were I had on before we went to this break, talked about how Ron Johnson has enriched his family and his life and his financial portfolio since he's been a United States Senator. And everything that he's done has been pointed in the direction of supporting the people with wealth. No question at all about that. And if there's somebody who wants to refute that, 844-967-2789 is the number. But for a man who's going to be fighting for his political life, to stand up and say that Medicare, as he did on yesterday, that Medicare and Social Security should be subjected to annual budget deliberations, a move that could upend guaranteed benefits relied upon by tens of millions of Americans, generally a kiss of death. I don't care if you are on the right. Doesn't matter if you are a Republican and you are retired and you're getting a Social Security check and you're safe with Medicare, you know, as I am. And the fact that every month your check is in the mail and you can rely on that, it's comforting. But to talk about it as a handout is where he's so ignorant. Because what you get in Social Security is basically what you put into it. And listen, yes, there's Medicaid that is a component to Medicare that will be there for people who can't do things for themselves. Yes, you know, and there's some with Social Security, safety nets that are there for people who can't do for themselves. But the majority of the people on those, on Medicare and Social Security have earned those benefits, be they Democrat or Republican. And you can be a Republican listening to me right now, and you know that what Ron Johnson is saying is going to impact and affect your life, and you know you're not going to support him in talking about, you know, means testing Social Security and Medicare. Just not going to happen. You don't have to come out and say it. I know you're not stupid, you know, and you're not going to cut off your own hand to spite your own face. But Ron Johnson comfortably is making these statements at a time that he's fighting for his political life, but he's arrogant enough and ignorant enough to think that what he's saying is what people want to hear. You know, Johnson's running for a third term, and, you know, he's running against Lieutenant Governor Mandela Barnes, and I'm telling you right now, he's going to lose. Ron Johnson, an incumbent senator, which is almost unheard of, a two-term senator, United States senator, incumbent, rarely, if ever, loses. Rarely, if ever. You know, I can remember as a young guy, a young man, when they had senators who lived to be over 100 years old. They were still senators. They died in their seats. Because it's almost impossible to defeat a sitting senator unless you're as ignorant as Ron Johnson. And Ron Johnson is every bit of that. Ron Johnson voted against the defense spending bill that would help veterans who have been exposed to burn pits and all those things. And he came up with some lame excuse like the rest of the conservatives did. Well, we support the military, but yeah, we don't want to support the veterans because we know the Democrats are trying to slip some money in somewhere else. Well, hey, talk to the veterans and their families. You talk as if you as Republicans haven't slipped some money in somewhere else. That's what you do. But you use that as a conversation, or you use that to give an excuse to why you wouldn't support the veterans. Well, guess what? A funny thing happened between day before yesterday and yesterday, Monday and Tuesday. The Republicans changed their mind on the bill. Why? Because it's Freda Payne is singing in this song, Bring the Boys Home, about the troops in Vietnam. You know, you're not going to win that battle, Republicans. And you didn't. You turned around with your tail between your legs and gave up a ridiculous fight that you weren't going to win. And now you're going to say, oh, we were only kidding. We really care about the vets. Got to go to a break. 844-967-2789. You're tuned into the Earl Ingram Show. We'll be right back.